Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the November is LTC Awareness Month conference call. Your host for today is Ms. Tracy O'Malley. Ms. O'Malley, you may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is Tracy O'Malley. I am the Executive Director of the Plus Group. We'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today for the Plus Group DI Day Training Live Audio Conference. The topic of today's live audio conference is November is Long-Term Care Awareness Month, and will be presented to you by Debbie Patterson and Paul Weber of Assurity. Hopefully you have the presentation so that you can follow along. If you don't have it, you can go to our website at www.plusgroupus.com, and on the right side of the page it says Upcoming Conferences, and below that you'll need to click where it says November is Long-Term Care Awareness Month. It'll take you to another page, and the presentations are on the bottom of that page. We hope that you enjoy the presentation, and you will have an opportunity to ask questions at the end of the audio conference, so please jot those down and have those available for you. Okay, let's turn this over to Debbie.
Thank you, Tracy, and thank you, everyone. It's always a pleasure to do a webinar for the Plus Group. We at Assurity hold the Plus Group in very high esteem, so again, we appreciate your joining us today. My name is Debbie Patterson, and I am the Director of Long-Term Care at Assurity. And as Tracy said earlier, November is Long-Term Care Awareness Month. I would like to take this opportunity to talk about the need for long-term care, and more importantly, at least I feel, about Assurity Life and why we want you to feel very, very confident about the long-term care business that you place with Assurity. You'll also hear from Paul Weber, and he is the Chief Underwriter and Assistant Vice President of Underwriting at Life Care Assurance in Woodland Hills, California. We have, and it was going to be an attachment, but Tracy will be happy to send the PDF of an article that appeared in CNN in November. And it's a good example that long-term care is not just a senior product. At your convenience, you can click on the article that talks about a 16-year-old who has cared for his mother since he was 6 years old. And that's because his mother has dementia. The story is a perfect example that long-term care is not only for older people. And just a quick statistic on this, according to a recent study that was conducted by the Alzheimer's Association, they estimate that 250,000 children or kids under the age of 18 are actually serving as unpaid caregivers for people with Alzheimer's. I'd like to talk a little bit now about Assurity. We've got a slide here on stability matters, and certainly in the long-term care arena, stability is paramount these days. I know that you've all heard of several things that have occurred in this last couple of weeks, this last month, where we've had major carriers either decide to raise their rates significantly or to actually get out of the business altogether. We are committed to the long-term care business. We are committed to having this product accompany all of our other products to help people through difficult times. It's the perfect addition to round out our product portfolio. But let me talk a little bit about Assurity. We're the result of a merger of three longtime insurers, the earliest that was founded in 1980. We're headquartered in Lincoln, Nebraska. Probably Assurity is more well-known for our disability income product, but as all of you know, critical illness, life insurance, and annuities certainly are part of our product portfolio. We're licensed in every state except for New York, and for long-term care, we're still not in Florida, although we do hope to be sometime in the future. We are rated A- excellent, and our AM Best rating has just been reconfirmed recently. We have an extremely stable outlook. It's something that our the leadership of the company constantly strives to get to an A rating, and I do believe that this is something that we will get to. It's not our financial position because we're extremely strong, especially for a company our size, But conversely, it's because of our size that still is holding us back from being an A-rated company. But in these days, A-minus, certainly I don't get any protest from people any longer because A-minus is still very, very good. And the Surety has a 120-year legacy. So I want you to know that you can feel very, very solid about the Surety products and including long-term care. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about our partnership with Life Care Assurance in Woodland Hills, California. A little before Paul does his talk, we are so fortunate to be partnered with Life Care Assurance. They were founded in 1988, and they specialize exclusively in long-term care. They're located in Woodland Hills, California. Life Care develops, administers, and reinsures long-term care insurance for its joint venture partners, and that includes Assurity. Life Care has achieved a national reputation for its high-quality, comprehensive, and conservative underwriting practices. The strict underwriting philosophy assures that the risk profile of insureds will follow the product pricing, which minimizes rate increases. Life Care's loss ratio of 15.8 is the lowest in the industry, as reported by the NAIC. And with that, I would like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Paul Weber, and that will be slide number 8. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Paul Weber. I'm an assistant vice president and chief underwriter for the Surety Life long-term care product. And I'm just going to give you a broad overview today of the underwriting process and some of the broad stroke concepts that are going to help you as producers, you know, navigate your way through the long-term care application process in terms of suitable applicants versus those who may not be actually suitable. The long-term care product is fully underwritten, and the closest insurance product to long-term care, I would say, is a disability-type policy. Because of disability and long-term care, we're looking for the same type of physical conditions and disease processes and medications that affect somebody's ability to function and be independent and stay out of the nursing home, needing home care, or stay out of the hospital for that matter. So that first slide, number 8, is really just a preliminary to the underwriting process, which is some helpful hints just getting ready to submit an application. And these are some very broad concepts. Getting familiar with your client's medical histories. Just to take this briefly, what that means is encouraging your clients to disclose to you all the facets of their medical history that they will. And that means all their past medical history of diseases, illnesses, significant injuries, and most importantly, the medications that they take, or the medications they may have taken in the past that were big ones. By big ones, I mean things that may have related to severe arthritis, diabetes, some of the bigger ticket medical conditions. Nowadays, people should be more comfortable than ever disclosing medical history. Now that on TV, you can see TV commercials for depression, AIDS, anxiety medications. This is all so popular now in the media that the former reluctance to disclose these conditions is now way out in the open. You'll even see commercials for prostate disorders and all these things that previously maybe people weren't willing to talk about now are just out in the open. And that's all to our advantage if people will disclose their medical histories to you as producers. It's going to be invaluable in you capturing at what risk class that policy, that application should be submitted. So that's that first bullet point there. The second point is actually the most important on there. We produce a field underwriting guide, which is just, to overuse the word invaluable, it is invaluable in helping you evaluate your client's suitability. It's got, you know, just scores of medical conditions and how we may rate those conditions, and scores of medications and how those medications end up in the rating categories. And it will indicate to you also the people who are uninsurable based on the medical history and based on particular medication use. My example is We don't accept insulin-dependent diabetics because of the high risk those applicants have. And so insulin-dependent diabetes is both in the medical conditions section of the field guide, and insulin is in the medication section under uninsurable medications. So there's an example of both a condition and a medication being available to you up front, so you don't spend that valuable time writing the application, obtaining a check, and submitting it for a condition that's simply not insurable. So that field underwriting guide is the most important tool, I think, in the producer's arsenal to really help navigate the waters of long-term care. That third point, we do ask that you pay special attention to height and weight, first of all. Just to let you know, we have the most liberal height and weight chart in the entire LTC industry. I can say that with authority because I've seen the other charts, and we are very forgiving in the heights and weights. Our chart in the field guide will tell you what the appropriate weights are for different rating categories. There's three basic rating categories that we use. The best rate is called the preferred rate. The second rate tier is referred to as the select rate. And the third rating tier is called the standard rate. So our height and weight chart divides up various heights and weights into their appropriate categories. So that's a very important element, capturing up front accurate height and weight, if your clients will disclose that to you accurately. Any cigarette use in the last 12 months, that's a big item. Cigarette use is what we define as people being a smoker. The people who chew tobacco or smoke cigars or pipes, those people are not rated for their use of tobacco. Only cigarette smokers fall into that category. So what is cigarette smoking? It's a puff on a cigarette in the last 12 months. Now, I phrase it like that because plenty of people smoke two or three cigarettes a day and refer to themselves as non-smokers, both because of the low amount and the fact they went down from two packs a day to three cigarettes a day. They now feel entitled to call themselves a non-smoker, which by our definition is not accurate. So any cigarette use, a puff in the last 12 months, means that person is a cigarette smoker by our definition, and they require the rating to the second tier select for being a cigarette smoker. Anyone who is completely cigarette smoke free for 12 months is entitled to the best rate just for the smoking. Now, that last bullet point, we want to make sure that we can be considered a resource in the pre-screening for potential clients who are interested in long-term care. We can help you with basically dissecting the meaning of any particular medical condition. How significant is it in the past or the present? And that goes for medications too. How significant is this medication? What is it for? Is this insurable or not? You know, we help a lot of people this way, and it spares a lot of time and effort to select out the people who may not be appropriate candidate. I do get the calls, weekly. I've got somebody on insulin. Are they insurable? Without my telling them up front that that's not an insurable risk, you know, we may just see that application here and we're forced to decline it. Now, the advantage of getting this information in the pre-screen is that people are spared having to have a decline on their insurance application record if we can get through this in the pre-screening. We don't subscribe to MIB. We're not a member, so we don't report it to any kind of clearinghouse. But on future long-term care applications, if they've been declined, they're required to state that fact. So between the PLUS group, who you will be able to go to for pre-screening, and ourselves at Assurity Life /LifeCare, we're happy to help you with pre-screens on any subject. Now, if you have your pens and pencils ready, I just want to give out our toll-free number here for the pre-screening process. Just so you have it, it's 888-505-3980. I'll say that again, 888-505-3980, toll-free number for pre-screening. And our email address is status@ltcassurity.com. That's status@ltcassurity.com. So you can contact the PLUS group or us in conjunction with the PLUS group, and we'll be happy to help you with any type of pre-screen. I'm going to move now to slide number 9. Now, this is an example, cases not to submit. This is my example of how negative can be a positive. When we avoid the cases you're going to see on this list, we've saved everybody a concern, a decline on the record, and all the time and effort that goes into writing and submitting an app. People who have been previously declined for long-term care, that's proven to be a very, very difficult path to take, trying it again. About 99% of the people who have previously been declined, we end up declining them ourselves. That often is the result of your clients not disclosing everything about what got them declined from another carrier. And it's just, we end up just in a bad position where we order medical records on all applicants. And what that means is the facts that people may not disclose are going to come out in the open anyway. Now, just on that point of medical records, as I said, we order medical records on every applicant. Now, this makes us different than the other insurers who may have more of a liberal reputation, but it's really not well-deserved. Some of the insurers, they issue based on just a telephone interview or perhaps a paramed exam or an exam of some other fashion. They don't order medical records, so they end up approving people at too good a rating, resulting in the long run in premature claims and inevitably rate increases. So I've been in the conversation that we put somebody in the second rate class, but they got the best rating from John Hancock, just for a hypothetical example. The reason that happens is John Hancock didn't order those medical records. Simply stated, the cases that approve people at a better rating, they don't have all the facts that we have. They don't have all the information they could have had, which is why they're coming to that condition, that situation where they're approving at a better rate. Now, we already know the big players in the long-term care about their rate increases and how they're planning a second wave of rate increases. Assurity Life has never had a rate increase, and the way the policy is priced actuarially, we don't anticipate rate increases. So rather than talking about us being a conservative underwriting shop, I refer to us as being a sensible, a solid underwriting shop where we just get the appropriate information by ordering records on everyone. So sorry for the divergence there, but I thought that was an important point to make. The second point on cases not to submit, people who are disabled. That is a very high-risk situation. Once people have qualified for disability, they're just not appropriate candidates. To receive disability, there's a very high bar people have to meet to be qualified and considered to be disabled to get compensation for that through insurance. This even applies to the people who have ONOC disability, where they may be completely disabled from an occupation. They switch occupations. We still find those individuals to be unsuitable for long-term care. It's just once you have disability, the risk threshold just crosses over into being unacceptable. There's a high incidence of people who have been disabled, are disabled, and filing of new claims. Now, the most we'd be able to do is, in certain instances, people have an ONOC disability where they're in a completely different profession. We may, in some instances, be able to issue a nursing home-only policy without home care benefits. But that's in the rare instances where we can consider that option. The third point down, insulin-dependent diabetics, that is an uninsurable condition. The reason is diabetes is the type of medical condition that makes all other conditions worse. It's just a condition that inevitably makes all general health go downhill. There's no cure for it. There's only ways to treat it. And inevitably, it just makes overall health decline at a faster rate than the general population. The people on insulin have that decline at an accelerated rate because they need insulin to stabilize their blood sugar levels, and that just represents too high a risk threshold, so we don't insure the insulin-dependent diabetics. The orally controlled diabetics can be insured if they have no other conditions of significance, if they're well controlled, and that could be a situation where they get the second rate category of select. Individuals who've had a stroke or a TIA, a stroke also known as a cerebrovascular accident, those people are uninsurable. The reason being, these are our two most common causes of claims. These claims are largely responsible based from these two medical conditions. So the fact that someone has had a stroke or a TIA at some point in the past makes it a very high-risk situation for the future. They're much more inclined to have a repeat event in the future based on a past event. And unfortunately, from a medical standpoint, it doesn't matter how long ago it was in the past. They may have had a stroke 20 years in the past, but unfortunately, that still makes them uninsurable now because of the high risk that one stroke, which is a really huge medical event, the risk that that places on that individual. Cancer within 2 years. That really refers to an internal cancer that has taken place within 2 years. I mean, that's talking about possibly kidney cancer, something, a sarcoma on the leg, something of that nature. Internal cancer within 2 years, there is a 2-year wait for that condition. Now, after 2 years, they may be eligible for coverage. So it's one of those time limit types of medical conditions. And I'm not referring to skin cancers here. The people who have had a basal cell or squamous cell that was removed in totality, that's not an internal cancer in the same 2-year prohibition range. The comorbid conditions, meaning people who have more than one significant combination, depending on the combination, some combinations will be uninsurable. That first item there, diabetes and cardiac condition. Diabetes and a heart condition is uninsurable because both of these conditions make each other worse. They intensify the effect of each other and lead to an overall decline in health that is beyond what the general population experiences. So the people with diabetes and have had a heart attack, a bypass, an angioplasty where they clear the coronary vessels, those are people with coronary artery disease. That's not a viable combination. Now, there are some more less significant coronary heart conditions. Let's say somebody has a simple arrhythmia with a fast heartbeat or a slow heartbeat. It may be possible that that combination could be insurable at a rated category. But coronary artery disease and diabetes is not insurable. Now, the second point, smoking. Now, I'm not meaning to offend any of anyone in our audience who is a smoker, but cigarette smoking inevitably makes everything worse in terms of overall health. It's even found through studies to have made a recovery from internal cancers longer and more difficult because smoking is a condition that deteriorates overall health. Combined with heart disease, that's just a non-insurable combination. Anybody with heart disease who continues to smoke is doing themselves a major disfavor. Smoking and diabetes is also a major no-no. Any diabetic should quit smoking immediately upon diagnosis. Smoking impedes and impairs the circulatory system, as does diabetes, and so that's just doing inevitable damage to the circulatory system beyond what a non-smoker would experience. Diabetes itself tends to deteriorate the circulatory and nervous system over time, which is why it's such a significant disease. And combined with others, it just makes the overall effect worse. Obesity, that last point, is a very significant condition. And even though we have an extremely liberal height and weight chart, combining obesity with other diseases is just a no-go. Obesity and diabetes, obesity and heart disease, obesity and smoking could easily rule someone out of coverage altogether. If there's any doubt, we're happy to pre-screen those cases and just take a look at what you have to say. But obesity is another condition that makes all health conditions worse. It inevitably leads to arthritis, joint pain, muscle pain. It puts stress on all internal organs, and obesity is just, it's a fact of life that it just impairs overall health. Combined with a significant health condition like diabetes, heart disease, smoking, it's just not viable as a long-term care risk. Now I'm moving to slide number 10 now. I just want to give you some samples of the different rate categories, the three rate categories, and people who fit into those various rates. This first one is the preferred rate, the best rate. Typically, these are the people who are the non-smokers, and by non-smoking, I'm only referring to cigarettes once again. A weight is no more than 50% above the average weight that's provided on our build chart. Once you take a look at the build chart that's in the field guide, you'll see that there's a range that's given for 50% above average weight for height. When people go above that threshold, and it's easy to see on the chart, then they slip into a next rating category. But people who are no more than 50% above the average on the build chart can still get the best rate. Now, just to give you an idea of how liberal our weight chart is, let's say a gentleman is 5'10". And weighs 255, he could still get the best rate. 5'10 and 255, that's a pretty husky individual, I'd say, but they may still qualify for the best rate. So please take a look at our height and weight chart and you'll see what I'm talking about. No medical conditions of significance. Now that's subject to interpretation, but just for the sake of providing an example, somebody has mild asthma. They don't need any medication or just over-the-counter medication or maybe one simple inhaler that's not a steroid. They may qualify for the best rate. Somebody with severe asthma, they're on three medications, two inhalers, and it's a significant problem that may lay them up once or twice a year. They may slip into that middle rate. So this is really just a matter of judging a medical condition by how severe it is, how it affects lifestyle and activity level and ability to carry on with normal daily functions. So that's another condition if you're not sure, is it significant or not? That's something we can discuss. Something like simple arthritis may get the best rate if there's no medication involved. Osteoarthritis on medication may actually slip into another rating category. Now, we do give credits for the long-term care. Here's some examples of credits. People who work full-time, that's a strong indicator of good functionality. They can report for work every day on a full-time basis. And we do give credit for people who work part-time also, because these are people who are doing something that takes, you know, a good amount of effort to carry on a daily basis. So that is a credit. People who are active, meaning people who are exercised, there are credits for being, you know, a good level exerciser. People who are active in the community, people who have activities, volunteerism, people who are just active and out there and show vitality in their lifestyle and are not necessarily sedentary and doing nothing. Those are the people who tend to pile up more health conditions over time. Now, this last point is a good one. This refers to medications. You'll see in our field underwriting guide, we have lists of medications that require a rating or that may indicate someone being uninsurable. To get the best rate, somebody cannot be on the list of medications of uninsurable drugs, and they cannot be taking drugs from the list that's not eligible for the best rate. So our drug guide will tell you what drugs actually lead to a rating. So there'll be questions about that. I'm happy to answer them, and the pre-screening and the underwriting guide, once again, are invaluable tools. I'm going to move to slide number 11, which is the middle rate. The people who end up in the middle rate, these are your cigarette smokers, the people who have had a puff on a cigarette in the last 12 months. As far as the weight chart goes, the height and weight chart, their weight is more than 50% above average on the build chart. A gentleman who's 5'11" and weighs 265, he's going to be in that middle rate range as select. That third point is a good one. People who have had, you know, medical conditions of significance, they've had a heart attack, coronary bypass, and angioplasty, where they open up the coronary arteries, depression, anxiety, that's one that's not there but is a very important condition, arthritis, non-insulin controlled diabetes, internal cancers after 2 years. These are generally the conditions that are going to require the rating. Arthritis means people are taking prescription medication to control that disease, not just simple over-the-counter, but we judge that by severity. Now, some conditions are going to be permanent as far as the rating. The people who have had the heart attack, that damage is permanent. The people with the bypass and angioplasty, they have coronary artery disease, and the game plan, once it's diagnosed, is controlling it for the remainder of their lives. Depression, anxiety, that is more of an open subject, because if someone does eventually overcome their depression or anxiety and they go 12 months with not requiring any treatment, therapy, or medication, may be eligible for the best rate. Now, that introduces the subject, are all rates permanent? Some are. Sometimes people, if they overcome a certain condition or get off medication, may apply in the future for a rating upgrade. Now, just, we always approve cases at the best possible rate. Regardless of what rate a case is submitted, we always upgrade to the best possible rate. But some conditions over time may be eligible for a rating improvement. The non-insulin controlled diabetics, that's a permanent disease condition which would ordinarily not change. The internal cancers, that's something that after 5 years, it may be something without recurrence, the person may be eligible to upgrade to the best rate. So these are all subjects we can talk about in our dialogue, your dialogue with the Plus Group and with us at Assurity, the underwriting area. Now, just to make a suggestion, if you're on the fence, you're actually getting to the point you can submit an app. You're on the fence how to submit someone. It's always a safe bet to submit people at the middle rate or even at the standard rate if they have significant health conditions, because what we want to do is manage expectations. And part of that is not having to explain a premium increase once you get the policy in your hands. The smoker who is submitted at the best rate and it comes back at the middle rate, or the person who's had an angioplasty or a bypass and it's submitted at the best rate, the burden there is having to explain a premium rate increase once you have the policy. It's always easier to manage that conversation about premium when it's already submitted at the correctly anticipated rate. So the person with the heart attack, the smoker, it's submitted at the middle rate. It comes out that way. Everybody's looking good because it came out the way it was submitted. Now, since we upgrade to the best possible rate, if you're in doubt, and we upgrade, then you come back as the hero, and the premium is less than that quoted, and everybody's happy about that. So that's just a little discussion there about premium. I'm going to progress now to the third premium tier, which is the standard premium rate on the slide number 12. Now, this is standard rate. The third rate down is where the people with much more serious health conditions live. These are for the significant conditions such as emphysema. That's a serious lung disorder. People with ulcerative colitis, that's a significant digestive disease that is very difficult to control but can be controlled. People who are stable may be eligible for that third rate. If people are unstable, they're still trying to be brought under control, that may be a situation which we may not be able to accept, and we need a period of stability. But what we're looking for basically is stability of a condition to see if someone's eligible. That second point there, we're talking about combinations of very serious conditions. The people with heart and lung disease. The people, let's say, have had a heart attack, a bypass, and have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Since the heart and lungs function very dependently on each other and they each affect each other so strongly, that's a serious combination. That may be eligible for the standard rate if it's insurable. Rheumatoid arthritis, by itself, that's normally a condition that ends up in the standard rate because it's a very serious form of arthritis. It takes very potent medications to control. Fibromyalgia, taken by itself, that's normally a condition that ends up in the second rate of select. It's a very poorly understood medical condition that, it consists of, very strong joint pains, muscle pains, general feeling of fatigue, inability to carry on daily activities at an acceptable level. And just to let you know, a lot of fibromyalgia is treated with psychiatric drugs. The doctors find that the psychiatric drugs like Lexapro, Prozac, drugs of that nature actually work to cure, or not cure, but to treat fibromyalgia, giving rise to the theory that it's a psychiatric illness and it may be the mind is driving the body to experience these severe physical symptoms. But let's say you combine fibromyalgia with something strongly musculoskeletal like rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, that could be something that ends up in standard. Morbid obesity, that's something that ends up in the standard rate. What's an example of that? Well, let's go back to our gentleman who's 5'11". If a man is 5'11" and weighs 280, he fits into that standard rate. And we think that's more than fair because 5'11 and 280, once again, that's a pretty hefty individual. And I'm going to tell you, this is a very liberal rate chart. 5'11 goes all the way up to 306 before somebody is uninsurable. So I'm sure you'll agree that's a fairly liberal evaluation, but the people with severe obesity may end up in that standard premium rate. So having given the overall overview of the underwriting, that's my presentation for you, and it looks like we can proceed to whatever questions you may have. So if Debbie is still there, I'll turn the gavel over to her.
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, very good.
Okay, let's see. Let's open it up for questions and see if our operator Alma is available to help us with that.
Yes, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press the number one key on your phone. Again, if there's any questions you'd like to ask, please press the number one key on your phone. Please hold while our questions come into queue. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press the number one key on your phone. Ms. O'Malley, there are no questions in queue.
Okay, thank you, Debbie and Paul. Thank you so much, and thank you, everyone out there. If you have any additional questions regarding this live audio conference, please contact your local Plus Group office. We have recorded this call, and once we receive the tape, we will be hanging a recorded copy of this presentation on our website at www.plusgroupus.com. And thanks again, and we are currently working on our audio conference schedule for 2011, so please check our website or contact your local Plus Group office for more information. Again, Debbie and Paul, thank you very much, and thank you to everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.